tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Our lesson today is the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. There are three groups of seven found in the book of Revelation: seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. These make up the skeletal structure of the book of Revelation. The seven seals are the long story ending at Armageddon. The seven trumpets are the shorter story also ending at Armageddon. And the seven vials are the real short story ending at Armageddon. Now, we know the seven vials do not actually take place until after the mark of the beast is administered. We know this because when the first vial is unleashed, the Bible tells us very clearly that it will be unleashed upon the people that have taken the mark of the beast. So from that, we know that it will all be enacted at the time of the very end. Now, not only are there skeletal structures in the book of Revelation of three sevens, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, but in addition to that, the book of Revelation has what we call parenthetical chapters. This is sort of like color commentary. While we're telling the main overview, every once in a while, there's a chapter thrown in that will tell you, for example, chapter number 12 of Revelation talks about a war in heaven when Satan is cast down and confined to the earth for the final 3.5 years. Revelation number 13 gives us a view of the one world government and the Antichrist that heads that one world government, of the one world religion and the false prophet who will be the leader of that one world religion, and also the mark of the beast, the economic system of the end time one world governmental system. So that's when we understand the book of Revelation, that really helps us to understand. If we understand the skeletal structure of the three sevens, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, and then we also understand other chapters are thrown in order to give us a fuller understanding of what this is really all about. Now, we're focusing today on the seven trumpets. It begins in Revelation chapter number 8, verse number 6. Listen to it. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And when we deal with these seven trumpets, we're not going to start from 1 through 7, because the way God helped me to understand the seven trumpets, he first of all helped me to understand trumpet number 3. And I feel like that if that's the way God helped me to understand, that's probably the best way for me to try to help you understand. So let's look at the third trumpet first. It's Revelation chapter 8, verse 10 through 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died because of the waters. So don't forget wormwood, and don't forget that many men died because of the waters. Now, I'll never forget how this all came to me. What happened was, it was back in 1995, and I was working on the manual for our course called Understanding the End Time. It was the first edition of that course. And I had heard a rumor that wormwood meant Chernobyl, that the word Chernobyl was the Russian word for wormwood. But when you deal with Bible prophecy, you hear all kinds of theories. And I had learned not just to accept everything that came my way. I mean, I've got 75 Antichrists in my filing cabinet right now. I mean, so many people, a lot of people contacted me and said, I know Ronald Reagan is the Antichrist because his name is Ronald Wilson Reagan. Ronald has 6 letters. Wilson has 6 letters. Reagan has 6 letters. Therefore, his name is 666, and that's the name of the number of the name of the Antichrist. Well, obviously, he was not the Antichrist, but I get all kinds of theories. So when I hear something a possible explanation of one of the prophecies of the Bible. I listen, but I just don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker, because I found out over time that that's not the best thing to do. So I was working on my manual for the first Understanding End Time production, and everything was flowing that day. I was sitting there, I was typing, and everything was really going great. And you know, when writers are writing, sometimes it flows and sometimes it doesn't. Well, this particular day, it was flowing. My door was shut to my office. I was all alone. I was excited. I was behind on my deadlines, but I was catching up. And so I was really feeling good. And as I was writing, nothing about Wormwood, nothing about Chernobyl, nothing about the third trumpet, it was like something spoke to me. I thought it was God, actually. It just spoke to me and said, you know that rumor you heard about Wormwood being Chernobyl? I want you to check that out. And I remember thinking in my mind, now I'm all by myself in my office, I remember thinking in my mind, wait a minute. I'm busy. I'm doing good. Everything is flowing. I don't want to stop and do that right now. And furthermore, you know, 3 weeks at the library trying to dig out this piece of information, I just don't have time for it right now. I have to get this manual finished. And it's like God spoke to me and said, it won't take you any time. Just pick up the phone, call the library. They'll do the research for you. Well, as I thought about this, I was really a little bit frustrated, to tell you the truth. But since I thought it might be the voice of God, I thought, well, I probably should do this. So I opened the drawer to my desk. I pulled out the phone book and looked up the number, called the library, asked for the reference librarian. And I said, ma'am, this is Pastor Irvin Baxter. And I've heard a rumor that the Russian word for wormwood is Chernobyl. Is there any way you could check that out for me and let me know if that's true or not? She said, oh, it is true. Because you see, the Russians used wormwood for medicinal purposes. It turned their tongues black, and the Russian word for black is Chernin. And consequently, they begin to call wormwood Chernobyl. And she rattled off the awfulest bunch of information you've ever seen in your life. And so I was taken aback by this. I was not prepared for her to just answer me off the cuff like that. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm going to be writing an article about this. Could I get some documentation, some books, some page numbers? She said, I'll call you back. She called me back 20 minutes later. She had the books. She had the page numbers. And I was really wowed by this time. One reference she had was the Dictionary of the Russian Language, and it had as a definition Chernobylic, and it said a variety of absinthe, which was in parentheses wormwood, with a red, brown, or deep purple stem. There it was in a Russian dictionary, and it referred to wormwood under the heading Chernobylic. Well, I was really impressed. Well, actually, she talked to me in probably 10 minutes. And finally, it was time to go. And I thanked her very much. I said, but before I let you go, I have to know something. It's not normal that you would have known this all off the top of your head. How did you know all this? She said, oh, I'm working on my doctorate in Russian right now, and I've been studying these things. Well, needless to say, I was in awe. Because I felt like God told me to call the library, that they would do the research for me. And in 30 minutes' time or so, I had the information that I needed. Well, what happened was, from there on, I began to do more research. I found a book called The Truth About Chernobyl, and I read that book. It was written by one of the scientists that was there. It was very interesting. But let's take a look real quick at the actual nuclear power plant of Chernobyl. It's located in the Ukraine, actually. This was when the Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. And the town where most of the workers lived was a town called Pripyat. There was about 40,000 people that lived there. Now, you're seeing a picture of the power plant before the explosion. And what happened was let's see if I can go through this with you very carefully because it's important. It was on April the 26th of 1986 at 1:26 a.m. in the morning. A Russian scientist was in charge of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant at the time, and he decided to conduct some experiments. In order to do this particular experiment, he had to disable some of the safety features. But he thought it was okay, and so he did. He disabled the safety features, and then he gave the command to raise the rods, which allowed the nuclear process to begin. Well, he was watching his meters, but he didn't catch it in time. Within about 30 seconds or so, the power plant began to overheat, the reactor began to overheat, and suddenly there was this powerful explosion that took place. And you're going to actually see a part of the explosion. The first explosion knocked the concrete lid off of the power plant. The concrete lid weighed about 2 million pounds. It knocked it off the power plant. It came down cocked. And then the second explosion drove a nuclear cloud 1 mile into the air. And leaving the lid cocked, it left the atmosphere open to a full nuclear fire. Well, little did they know at the time that they had just witnessed the worst nuclear disaster in the history of the world. Before it was over with, there would be 10 times as much nuclear radiation released at Chernobyl as was released at the bombing of Hiroshima in World War II. Okay. Well, now, here's what happened next. The workers, they didn't know what was going on. They heard this big explosion. They ran down to the source of the sound. Two of the workers pulled the door open and found themselves staring full-faced into a nuclear fire. It was so incredibly hot when they opened that door that it thrust them back, and they fell to the floor where they knew the coolest air would be, and they laid there until the heat somewhat dissipated, because now the lid is off of the nuclear reactor and all the heat is going up. They were finally able to get up, and they made their way back down to the nurse's station. It was about a block they had to walk. By the time they arrived, their skin was hanging off of their arms in ribbons. Both of those technicians died within a very short amount of time. Now, that's not all that happened. Immediately, because of the level of this emergency, fire trucks came from everywhere. And when the fire trucks came, they fought this fire, many of them not realizing that they were actually signing their own death warrant by being there. They're fighting a full nuclear fire. There were fire trucks there. There were helicopters that came in. And you can see some of the monuments here built to the people who bravely fought that fire, even though many of them died within 30 days or so. And the ones who did survive suffered all kinds of ramifications of their exposure to this high level of radiation. Well, as time went along, all of the equipment was brought in. The fire trucks that were brought in to fight the nuclear fire became so contaminated with radiation that they had to bring bulldozers in and bury these fire trucks. And then in the process, the bulldozers absorbed so much radiation that they had to bring in more bulldozers to bury the bulldozers. It was a horrific thing. And furthermore, they're fighting the fire with helicopters. And you can see some of the helicopters that are still in the area. And they were dumping water onto the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in an attempt to put out the fire. And you can see another picture here. Look at this. It's a graveyard of radioactive vehicles. And then at Chernobyl, it became a ghost town. Pripyat was the town of about 40,000 people where most of the workers lived. Well, it's a no man's land today. It has been declared off limits because no one can live there. Everything is contaminated. The vegetation, much of it does not grow there anymore. And to live there would be to live at risk of your own life. Now, the wild animals, they come there, but that's about it. Now, about this time, I was writing an article on this subject, and I went to the library so I could have solitude, get away from my office. And the place I was going to write was behind the video desk. And as I went behind this video desk, I passed the video clerk, and I said to him, just on a lark, "Do you have any videos about Chernobyl?" Because I was still in the learning process. And he said, "You know, I think I have one." He brought it to me. It was put out by the humanities.
And they had a machine there where I could look at it on the spot. And I was so curious about this because I was writing about it at the time. So I went over there and I pushed in the video and I began to watch. And it's amazing what I saw when I pushed in this video, because right on the front came up Chernobyl, the bitter taste of wormwood. Now, this was not put out by a religious organization. It was not put out by a prophecy ministry. And yet here they somehow had associated Chernobyl with wormwood. And the prophecy said that a star by the name of Wormwood was cast into the earth. Now, that's not all it said, because it had many other things to tell me in this video. The main message of this video was that the waters made the Chernobyl nuclear accident so deadly. Here's what happened. Let me see if I can tell you the story. When the nuclear cloud was driven 1 mile into the air, the winds caught the cloud and they carried it first of all into Sweden, then into Italy, then into Germany, then into Great Britain. And during this time, it rained incessantly. I do not know whether the nuclear explosion had anything to do with the rain or not, but it rained for about 4 or 5 days. The result was it brought all of the nuclide, cesium-137, down to the earth, and everywhere the rains hit, it created what's called brownouts. There's many places in Europe where nothing will grow for 100 years. Furthermore, the rivers filled up with this nuclide, cesium-137, and anybody that drank this water, they ingested this nuclide. Well, what happens when cesium-137 is ingested, it goes to your bone marrow. And the interesting thing is, it has a half-life of 30 years. Now, watch this. The rain came down, filled the waters of Europe, and it was radioactive. And everything it touched became radioactive. There were reindeer being raised for domestic consumption in Europe, about 100,000 of them. All of them had to be killed. And you can even see the workers as they were trying to control this unprecedented disaster. They actually had Geiger counters measuring the level of radioactivity. It goes way beyond the safe zone here. It was an accident that was unprecedented. There's never been anything like it in the history of the world. And so why should we be surprised that it's located in the prophecy of the Bible? Now, cesium-137 has a half-life of about 30 years. And many of the children especially were affected because they ingested this. And one of the things that cesium-137 does, it attacks your thyroid gland. And in the area of Pripyat, in that area around the Ukraine, the thyroid cancer is about 248 times the normal thyroid cancer rate, and many people are still suffering. Altogether, as a result of the Chernobyl nuclear accident of April the 26th of 1986, about 125,000 people have died. The scientists and the doctors estimate that around 2 million people are infected, and eventually what happens is when cesium-137 lays in your bone marrow, it will eventually cause a person to have cancer. So it's very interesting to see what happens. Okay, so the third trumpet sounded on April the 26th of 1986. This being true, when did the first trumpet sound? When did the second trumpet sound? Because obviously they would be before the third trumpet. And I asked myself that question. Well, let's look now at the sounding of the second trumpet. It's found in Revelation chapter number 8, verse 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And when I went back to study after, I felt like I understood the third trumpet, the Chernobyl nuclear accident. When I went back to study these others, I said, a third part of the ships were destroyed? That's never happened. I would surely know about that. And so I thought, well, maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something here. However, about a year later, I was thinking about everything, and my mind went to World War II. Now, World War II is the greatest disaster the world has ever known. 52 million people died there. And I thought, I wonder how many ships participated in World War II and how many of them were sunk. So I asked my research assistant, Kathy. I said, Kathy, go to the library. See if you can find out how many ships participated in World War II and how many were sunk. She came back about 3 days later, and she laid on my desk the statistics she had dug up, and I looked at them, and I looked at Kathy, and I said, Kathy, I didn't intend for you to cook the books. I want the truth. Well, what she showed me was that there were 105,127 ships that participated in World War II, and 36,387 of them were sunk. Well, I quickly did the calculation. It's about one-third on the money. And I said, Kathy, are you sure? She said, the librarian helped me. This is the way it was. One-third of the ships were destroyed. Well, the rest of the prophecy says that there would be a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. I had seen pictures of nuclear explosions, and they looked like a huge mountain on fire. And I thought, why should it be incredible that the first nuclear bomb dropped on the human race should be in the book of Revelation? And why should I think it's incredible that World War II, the greatest war the world's ever known by far, 52 million dead? And that's when I realized that in this second trumpet prophecy, I was seeing here the nuclear explosion at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and also one-third of the ships were destroyed. I became quickly convinced that the second trumpet was World War II. My next question then was, okay, well, what's World War I then? So back to the Bible, Revelation 8, verse number 7, and the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. I thought, okay, if the second trumpet is World War II, the first trumpet, could it be World War I? Because up until the 20th century, we never had a war with 1 million fatalities. And World War I comes along, and they called it the Great War. And there were 8.2 million dead. It was totally unprecedented. So could that possibly be the first trumpet? What does this mean? Hail and fire mingled with blood. And I thought about the new implements of warfare, the bombs, the huge guns. And also it says all green grass was burned up. And I thought I remembered in school studying about a thing called the scorched earth policy. And what happened was most of the battle occurred in World War I between France and Germany. And there was an area in there where the policy was, don't leave anything, burn everything up. That way, if you lose the territory, you leave no resources for the enemy to live off of the ground. So don't leave the crops, don't leave any green thing. And they called it the scorched earth policy. Well, after I studied for a while, I came to the conclusion that the first trumpet was probably World War I. Of course, that's when biological weapons were first used. It was horrendous. Our men and the Allied troops and the German troops all engaging in unprecedented warfare. It was absolutely terrible what they went through as they fought this horrible battle. So when I looked at the prophecy and looked at what happened in World War I, it made sense to me that World War I would be the sounding of the first trumpet. Okay, now let's summarize everything. Now let's look at it. So this is the overview of the first three trumpets. First trumpet, World War I, 8.2 million dead. Prior to this, there had never been one war with 1 million dead. In 6,000 years of recorded human history, not one war with 1 million dead. All of a sudden, we have this great war, 8.2 million dead. Then, second trumpet, World War II, 52 million dead. One-third of the ships destroyed. A great mountain burning with fire. Everything seemed to fit. And then, of course, the third trumpet, Chernobyl. This is where God opened my understanding first. I mean, I had always been taught that all the trumpets would exist in a final 7-year period. But by that time, God had changed my mind because there's really no proof for that. That's a theory that's embraced, but it's not true. So when I saw this third trumpet, Chernobyl, that happened on April the 26th of 1986, 86. And the word Chernobyl means wormwood. If you were reading a Ukrainian Bible, you would actually read a star by the name of Chernobyl was cast into the earth. I've actually had Ukrainian people come to me since I began to teach this and open their Bibles and say, look, right here it is. It says Chernobyl. Well, that's pretty astounding. So here we have the third trumpet, and the Chernobyl accident was the world's worst nuclear accident, 10 times as much radiation released at Chernobyl as was released at any other, by Hiroshima or by Nagasaki. So once I saw all this, I realized I was looking at something amazing. In our next segment, we're going to look at trumpets 4, 5, 6, and 7. Don't miss it. Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You'll want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.